Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist explaining commonplace and complicated medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. The Expert Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. I also produce the philanthropic New York Cat Film Festival, sponsored by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, and the New York Dog Film Festival, sponsored by the Petco Foundation, which are traveling the country, celebrating the love between people and their pets, while benefiting local animal shelters that bring them together. There's also an on-demand collection of dog-themed films you can download onto any device. More information is at dogfilmfestival.com and catfilmfestival.com. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Woruva, a family-owned pet food company whose owners want to feed their own pets and yours with ingredients that are good enough for people to eat. All the Woruva canned and pouch foods for cats and dogs come in endless varieties to satisfy even the fussiest pets and use the same care and quality ingredients as food for people. The company name exemplifies the Foreman family's embrace of rescuing animals, naming the company after their rescued kitties, W-E for Webster, R-U for Rudy, and V-A for Vanessa. And they are passionate about good nutrition. Their Caloric Harmony dry food for dogs is formulated on the principle of how the body actually utilizes food and the quality of the protein. You'll find Woruva wherever fine natural pet foods are sold. Dr. Donna, we have such an important topic today, something that people are always writing and asking, not just on the Pet Cancer Vet Show with Dr. Sue, but just in general. What do I do in terms of a diet? My dog's got cancer. And people read things on Dr. Google. They hear things from friends. They think that we could also touch on the topic of whether commercial pet food causes cancer. It does not. Thank you very much. But the idea of what to feed or not feed when your dog has cancer, can we just start with the whole concept of, is it too late to do something about your dog's diet when he has cancer? Is it really going to make a huge difference if you change? Can we sort of start there philosophically?
Yeah. I mean, and I think the first thing that we'll address that is the most important things you've said are like, people, they're looking for a cause. Why did my pet develop cancer? They want to play an active role in doing what they can. The caring pet owner turns to the internet, like you said, Dr. Google, and there's so much misleading or contradictory advice. And it comes from the fact that the actual body of scientific evidence on what is the ideal diet change or modification during cancer treatment, it's extremely small. There's like almost nothing out there. There's really, because, you know, no one really knows, and every body is different, and it depends on where the cancer has hit. Is it in the stomach? Is it in the intestine? Is it in the liver? Certain dietary modifications are going to be better or not as good, depending on what you're even dealing with. And you hit on the nail right on the head. The most often the people look is like, my dog's food caused the cancer. I know it did. You know, to your point, it is not fair to blame commercial diets alone for cancer. I mean, it's not caused by just one thing. It's, you know, the genetics, the environment, including the food, toxins, you know, it's everything. But, you know, the reason I bring this up is because I think it's never too late, right? It's never too late to be a little bit healthier, you know, and dogs and cats, you know, so often they lose their appetites when they have cancer or they're going through treatment.
Yes.
The good nutrition is vital to recovery, something they're going to want to eat and something that's really palatable and tastes really good. You know, the pet has to compete with cancer cells in the body, which are robbing it of energy and nutrients. And, you know, and they just have sometimes crappy appetites. So I think it, a lot of times diet change becomes necessary because they look at their old food and they're like, ew, that just does not smell or look or taste all that great to me anymore. And, you know, kind of turning over a new leaf, you know, to maybe up the ante of like, okay, let's step up the quality just a notch or two is really important. But the downside of that is, you know, you have to make sure you're not giving them such a rich food that they're getting diarrhea.
Right.
Or they're having stomach upset. Is it the cancer or is it the food change? So everything has to be done slowly and in moderation. You know, you make one change at a time and just kind of assess how, you know, how your dog or cat is feeling. I do recommend people have a look at the ingredients in the food that you're currently feeding. Like, let's say you have, you know, Gabby the lab mix, who is, you know, a crazy eater, and she loves her food, and there, you know, do we really need to change it? If she's really eating well and she's doing well, do I need to do something different? Well, that's when I say, you know, look at the ingredients that are in the food. Like, let's make sure about, are there preservatives in the food? Because we know some chemical preservatives, you know, like the BHAs, the BHTs, you know, looking for, you know, maybe an excessive amount of simple carbs, you know, corn, soy, beet pulp, some of those sorts of things. Or calling the company, you know, are they using GMO foods? Are they, you know, because we know those are have higher levels of pesticides. And, you know, so, I mean, just making some conscious efforts if your dog is having, you know, if they're eating a food that they're really liking, just to, you know, to see if we can't, you know, look into those ingredients a little bit more.
So one of the things that people turn to is the idea that they want to now cook the food. And I just want to say that while pointing a finger and blaming commercial pet food as the cause of cancer has no basis in fact, emotionally, people want an answer. And emotionally, people want to do something to protect and defend and help their animal, quote unquote, fight the cancer, live longer.
Right.
So that emotional that emotional drive can often be met by helping them feed differently, because it's emotional as well as intellectual. Intellectually, they believe they should feed better food, higher quality, more like human, you know, better ingredients. But also, I appreciate the fact that emotionally, it makes you feel you're showing love and care. So I think that it's important that we say that. We're going to have a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to have your thoughts on the ways in which people go wrong in maybe overboard in making a change. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo, holistic and humane natural dog and cat foods, which are made with only whole meats, never with rendered chicken meal or byproduct meal. There are new formulations at Halo which reflect whole, holistic, and humane practices. Halo says no to factory farming, no to growth hormones, no to antibiotics, no to artificial flavors, coloring, or preservatives in their foods. The newly formulated Halo sources cage-free poultry, pasture-raised beef, and wild-caught fish. Halo now has no GMO vegetables. All fruits and vegetables are sourced from farmland that prohibits the use of genetically modified seeds. What's new about Halo will matter to you, to farm animals, and the planet. This show is also brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets. They can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or liquid, and they'll keep making formulations at no extra charge until you get one your pet likes. So you can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Best Pet RX. So, Dr. Donna, what are the kinds of changes in diet for dogs with cancer that you've seen people want to do?
Well, like you had already commented on, I think across the board, home cooking is like the very first change. People are like, that's what I'm going to do. I want to home cook.
Right,
and
right.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of that idea, and I encourage them to do so. But as you know, I'm a huge stickler also of, it doesn't mean you just cook some meat, toss in a few veggies, and call it a meal.
Right.
You know, I mean, homemade diet, to do it properly, is a lot of work. And as a working individual, a mother, you know, a veterinarian who works, I mean, getting meals to the table for all of the family members, including the dog or cat, is tough. You know, I mean,
very.
And so people start to slip. So what starts as like, oh, I got this great recipe, all of a sudden you're substituting things, you're not putting in as much of this, you're... So homemade diets are often fraught with nutritional deficiencies and nutritional excesses. Sometimes there's too much of one thing and not enough of another. And that is not what your dog with cancer needs. You know, I've seen comments on the internet, things like, oh, we aren't worried about long-term deficiencies in dogs with cancer because, you know, they don't live that long. And I'm like, you know, that's not...
That's not the way to think. Yeah, right. Because also lots of dogs that are given 2 weeks to live or a month to live... You specialists have found dogs living a year because they've had the right chemo or their immune system was stronger than other dogs, right?
But, you know, a fairly recent study looked at 27 different recipes for home-cooked diets that came from the internet, from books, zero of those 27 met the minimum nutrient requirements for a healthy
goodness.
Dog, let alone a dog with cancer. And that was done, Tufts, Nutrition Service did that. So it's like, if you want a home cook, absolutely, let's do it. But do it the right way. And like a quick consultation with a veterinary nutritionist, get a good recipe. There are a lot of online resources. Now you can work directly with a board certified veterinary nutritionist to
wow.
say, I have a dog with cancer. Help me create a balanced food. I want to use salmon. I want to use, for the fish oil and the omega-3s. I want to use this. I want to use this. I want to use that. You know, if you have ideas of ingredients you want, they can pop you out a diet that is fully balanced. Usually it's going to include a supplement of sorts, you know, with a trace minerals, trace vitamins. You know, just popping in a multivitamin is not enough. Dogs have specific fatty acid requirements. A lot of people want to use olive oil or coconut oil.
Right,
those
right.
Those do not have the fatty acids, the essential
Correct.
Fatty acids that dogs need, like linoleic acid. You know, those come from corn oil. And,
right.
you know, and you don't see anybody out there that's like, ooh, I'm going to give my dog a teaspoon of corn oil. I mean,
right.
that's looked at as like, that wouldn't
right.
be so good. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's not inherent what they need, but like you need to make sure that, you know, and there are lots of websites, even going to like the veterinary nutrition website, Pet Diets, Balance It. I mean, there's lots of different websites.
Well, what about Balance It? I mean, we loved Dr. Sean, and we love that yeah. company because they have an online, a wonderful guy
diet
I know
creator.
Uses it.
Yeah.
yeah, Diet Creator, and then you buy the supplement from them, and the Diet Creator isn't there as a driver of buying their supplement. It's there so that you can combine
right.
sweet potatoes, peas, carrots, and turkey and the supplement, and that could be
and
this
you
week's
provide
diet.
All, right, and so that's, I mean, in all honesty, I probably use Balance It for my clients more than anything else because it's so simple. It's such a simple interface. The supplement is right there. You,
yep.
you know, if you're making a salmon, rice, quinoa, this, that diet, you need to add 4 scoops. And if you're doing a
right.
pork-based diet, you need
right.
to add 6.5 scoops. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like it's a no-brainer. And then you know you're using the quality of ingredients. You can buy them organic. You can buy them this or that, whatever you want. You're using the ingredients. They're giving you how much corn oil, how much this, how much
right.
that, you know, to add to it to make it balanced. And so that to me is, you know, I just say, you know, if you're going to want to do home cook, just do it the right way, you know, so that we
okay.
Can,
so,
that, you
so
know.
What about a company like The Honest Kitchen, which I've been
yeah.
feeding as part of my dog's meals forever, which is
right.
human grade food. And it's got every imaginable kind of
right.
vegetable and fruit. And not only
right.
are all the proteins raised in a nice way and humanely and thoughtfully
right.
and good for the planet. What about using that rather than trying to
Perfect.
Come up with your own
so,
cockamamie idea?
Yes. So this is exactly what that's my next step is I say, let's do something close to homemade, you know, like,
right.
okay, we all get it. Homemade is tough. I mean, we all struggle every, you know, to provide ourselves homemade food every day. And so the close to homemade, there's a lot of newer commercial options that are minimally processed. The Honest
mm-hmm.
Kitchen is one that is fantastic. I use it a lot. Obviously, it's complete. It's balanced. You just add water. You know, it's 100% non-GMO fruits, veggies, 100% organic seeds, grains, no additives, no I mean, it's fantastic.
It's shocking. It's much better than I eat, for real.
Yeah. And then there are other companies making dehydrated foods that
yep.
use low heat for the drying process. They avoid those high heat oxidation issues. Usually you just add water. There are options that include meat, or there are options that include it's a mix of veggies with already the vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids,
yes.
the nutrients. And all you do is add meat or maybe some fresh veggies to it. So there are so many like premixes of these dehydrated foods that, again, they're hitting. You don't need to add a supplement. Everything is all balanced for all the needs. You just add your fresh meat. You add your veggies. Obviously, the downside, if there is the price tag. It's much
yes.
more expensive way to feed your dog. But again, we're, you know, that's maybe a little less important for this group of people that we're talking about. They want to step it up a notch. It's a really nice way to easily step it up a notch.
Well, the thing is that if you look at the raw costs, if you will, excuse the pun, of the
yeah.
ingredients in a food like The Honest Kitchen, and you had to get
oh, yeah.
all GMO food and all organic, it would actually cost you more because
yeah.
also it's dehydrated, so
right.
it bulks up to 3 to 4 times its
right.
its bulk and weight. with the water that's been removed. So you're paying for the fact that they removed the water. Now you can put it in for convenience. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I really want to talk about raw diets and the people who think that that's the solution when their dog has cancer. We'll be right back. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, who has his own Cats Only Clinic in Colorado. He has devoted his life to inventing innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, keeping the air dust-free while creating cat-friendly litters that help prevent out-of-litter box problems. Now Dr. Elsie has broken new ground by creating a healthy dry food for kitties called Clean Protein. Clean Protein was inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, and 90% of the protein in the Clean Protein kibble is animal-based, not the plant-based ingredients in traditional dry cat food, like grains, potato, vegetables, and fruits, that are high in oxalate and lead to rapid metabolization, which actually increases your cat's hunger. The primary ingredients in Dr. Elsie's Clean Protein are the highest biological value proteins available, and the result is that your cat's appetite is satisfied longer without compromising her health. If you want to feed dry food to your cat, even as part of her diet, make the healthier choice. The proof is in the protein. Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat is also the founding sponsor of the New York Cat Film Festival, short films exploring the mystique of fascinating felines. Premiering in New York City December 9th, the Cat Film Festival will travel the country in 2018, bringing happiness to cat lovers everywhere. So, Dr. Donna, I know how most doctors of veterinary medicine feel about raw diets, particularly for immune-compromised sick animals, old animals, dogs in chemo, or cats. I mean, where do you fall on this thing where people go, I've just got to feed raw. I read on the internet, raw is the answer.
Yep. And, you know, and again, people who feed raw and have had benefits to their pets, I mean, you cannot convince them that, you know, that there's, you know, that there could be potential problems. But obviously we know raw meat, eggs, milk, you know, those kind of foods carry the highest risk of bacterial contamination with salmonella, listeria, E. coli, campi, you name it. There's a bunch of them. And I think, and again, we've talked many times about if you're a healthy individual and you get some contamination or you get a little salmonella, you know, maybe you're going to have a couple of days of diarrhea and then you're going to be okay. With immune-compromised patients, elderly patients, patients with kidney disease, you know, just any underlying disease, you know, those risks go up. And not only to the pet, but also the family members in the house with dogs that may be shedding bacteria into the household, families with kids, you know, there's a lot of things to think about. But, you know, I'll be honest, I think you'll be hard pressed to find a ton of veterinarians that are going to be super pro raw, because we've all had experiences, and I'm going to share a very heartbreaking story that's fairly recent. I had a lymphoma patient, a dog who was undergoing treatment for lymphoma, doing really well. You know, I mean, was in a remission, was, you know, kind of, we were at like week 12 on chemo. So, I mean, doing really well, was in a full remission. And again, the client was proactive. They wanted to feed a better diet. They wanted, and I talked all about my home cooking. Let's do a home cooked diet. Let's do this, do this. But she had a friend who, you know, was feeding a raw diet, and I could not convince her otherwise. And that dog got sickened with salmonella and died.
Wow. Was surviving the cancer, had beat the cancer, if you will.
But because was on chemotherapy, and that lowers the white blood cell count, and that, you know, depending on stages of chemo where you are, you know, and the dog ended up coming in with a vomiting diarrhea. And obviously at first we, you know, we were treating supportively, and maybe it was the chemo, what was it? But, you know, we did identify that that dog had severe and went septic with salmonella.
Wow.
And, you know, and we could not save her. And
how bad did the owner feel it? Did she understand the role that the raw had played, or she didn't really get it?
But so that's my job, right? I'm not here to lay blame or to make her feel guilty, because she was trying to do what she thought was the best. But yes, I mean, she is not in a good place. You know, she feels like she did that to her dog with her choices. And but, you know, we all make the best decisions we can at the time. And I've been trying to, you know, just say, listen, you did what you thought was going to be best for your dog. And you know, we can't turn back that clock, though, right? We just can't.
No, but on the other hand, we can talk about it on the air, and she can tell the friend who steered her to raw and any other friend. Right. I mean, you know, maybe the internet isn't the place to go, you know?
Right. But so again, you know, and I don't want people to think I am a whole food lover. Like, I love the trying to incorporate home cooked meals, but the raw, just as a medical professional, I cannot, you know, I just don't support it, because I treat as a specialist. I treat pets with cancer. I treat pets with immune diseases. I treat pets with GI diseases. It's just, yep, for me, it's too risky of an option. So it makes
perfect sense. So, you know, if this is something that people have decided, their breeder told them, or their breeders, or mm-hmm. they believe in it as a way of life and it's working for them, that's their choice. It's good. But when your pet is compromised, that's not the time to switch to that. And it may even be the time to switch off of it. Is really the answer we're giving is that a raw diet is not a cancer cure. It's definitely puts your animal at higher risk. I mean, it's just
higher risk.
That's it. And you don't want to do that when you're trying to minimize it and increase lifespan. Dr. Donna, this has been great. Thank you so much. And I wish that everyone whose pets are compromised will find a nice solution that makes them feel good, but also makes their pets feel good in what they're going to feed, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.